A quick psychoanalysis. Psychoanalysis originally meant examination of the soul. This kind of psychoanalysis, conducted by the individual himself, is valuable. From examining his own soul, any one of us can learn five general truths about all human beings. 1. All of us are dual. We are conscious of a tension between our lofty ideals and their feeble realization, of conflict between what we ought to do and the way we act, of a struggle between our ego with its longing for supremacy and the curbs placed on our will by other egos with contradictory desires. There are conflicts between our desire to be free of every restraint and the slavery to evil habits we suffer if we do throw off restraint, between the longing to be ourselves and the fact that our best pleasures constantly take us out of ourselves. This state of tension is an endemic state in man. 2. Such a conflict is confined to man. Animals know no such agonies of indecision between two apparent goods, pulling them in different directions at the same time. This difference gives us a clue to the cause of all our tensions, for man has an immortal soul, and animals have not. We men are plagued with conflicts because we are suspended between the finite and the infinite. We are like mountain climbers halfway up, who aspire to the peak above and shudder for fear of falling into the abyss below us. 3. Since we are all a composite of body and soul, each of us must make a choice between the two directions in which he can move. He can rise above himself or descend below his present state. He can surmount his human level by seeking God with all the passionate ardor of his soul, or he can slip down to the despair, frustration, melancholy of those who have ceased to seek goodness. For the boundaries of humanity can be crossed in either of two directions, upwards through faith or downwards to insanity. Every man at every hour moves towards one condition or the other. He cannot remain normal on the merely human level, for our own egos are too narrow and squalid to serve as fitting dwellings for immortal souls. The men and women who, neglecting every effort to improve their souls, assert that they are happy anyway, are merely lying to us and to themselves. Their despair may be invisible as yet, but it is latent and it is real. Let a crisis come upon such people, and the distress they concealed is evident enough. Suicides among those who lose their money or who are crossed in love reveal that only a thin, illusory substitute for the love of life saved them, until now, from their deep despair of the goodness of the universe. 4. But if the only alternative for us is between pursuit of the infinite God for whom we were made and the agony of despair, why does anyone ever turn his back upon the eternal? There are two barriers separating man from a happy destiny, and either one of them may cause a timid man or woman to hold back and sink into despair. Some men are unwilling to make the intellectual effort to seek truth for its own sake, to try to discover what this life is all about, to humble their pride sufficiently to admit that God may be other than their present conception of Him, and that, to reach Him, they may still have many new things to learn and believe. That refusal holds back the proud from happiness. But there is another obstacle to belief, the refusal to admit divinity because of the demand such a belief would make on us, and because we dare not face life without the habits of lust and avarice and selfishness which faith would ask us to surrender. 5. The man who truly enters into himself is never pleased at what he finds there. The inner emptiness can drive him to despair. But there are two kinds of emptiness, the vast vacuum of a canyon which will never be filled, and the expectant emptiness of a nest hollowed out in preparation for the birth of the birds. So there are two kinds of despair, the satanic despair, which refuses to give in to God's mercy, and the creative despair of those who allow their misery to be remedied by God. The first way of despairing was that of Judas, who went out and hanged himself. The second way was that of David, who cried, "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me." So long as such mercy is available for all who despair of their own confusion and conflicts and inner incompleteness, it follows that sin is never the worst thing that can happen to a man. The worst thing is the refusal to recognize his sins. For if we are sinners, there is a Savior. If there is a Savior, there is a cross. If there is a cross, there is a way of appropriating it to our lives and our lives to it. When that is done, despair is driven out and we have the peace which the world cannot give.